This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Alexis Gabe? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Alexis Perry Gabe was born on March 17, 1998, and lived in Oakley, California. This town is about 51 miles east of San Francisco. She lived with her parents in an apartment on Carroll Lane. Alexis graduated from college and worked part-time at a Rite Aid pharmacy. In 2018, she became romantically involved with a hospital security guard named Marshall Curtis Jones. He lived in a house on Ben Tree Lane in Antioch, which is about 6 miles west of Oakley. The couple broke up in November 2021, but still stayed in contact. Alexis found a new lover in December 2021. He was a tow truck driver. It would appear as though Marshall was not too happy about this development. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On January 26, 2022, Alexis Gabe had a FaceTime call with a friend at 6 p.m. while sitting in her blue Infiniti G37 in the parking lot of her family's apartment. Not long after this, Alexis drove away. Her parents did not hear from her that night, which was unusual. The next day, January 27, Alexis had still not returned home, and nobody could get in touch with her. Her family reported her missing to the police, who started investigating just after 1 p.m. At 4:15 p.m., family members found the Infiniti G37 abandoned on Trenton Lane, not far from the apartment where Alexis lived. The vehicle was unlocked, and the key was inside. Marshall was the obvious suspect from the very beginning. The police located a surveillance camera on the house right across from Marshall's house and asked the occupant to see the video. There was no video for the night of January 26 because nothing triggered the motion sensor on the camera, but the police did learn something useful. The occupant informed them that Marshall had been asking questions about the camera. For example, he wanted to know if it was motion activated, what type of view it had, and how good the quality was. The police paid a visit to Marshall at his house. He told them that Alexis showed up there on the evening of January 26. She left at about 9 p.m., and he never heard from her again. Marshall said he didn't leave his home that entire night. He granted the police permission to search his house, except for two bedrooms. Nothing of significance was found at that time. Officers noticed that Marshall had a black Ford Explorer SUV in his driveway, which was borrowed from his stepfather. Looking through the windows, they could see several blankets and several large black garbage bags. The officers asked Marshall to come down to the police station. When he was there, he reluctantly let them search his vehicle. As an officer was looking through the blankets in the back, Marshall said, quote, "I don't want you to think I have a dead body," unquote. It is safe to assume Marshall had not mastered the art of subtlety. The police examined Marshall's cell phone and found two curious internet searches. What is conspiracy to commit murder? And how long would it take for a fish to eat a body? On January 31, a broken cell phone screen was found near where the blue Infiniti had been located. It appeared to be from Alexis Gabe's phone. On February 1, the police executed a search warrant for Marshall's house and noticed a few interesting items. For example, the house smelled like bleach, there was a bucket and a mop in the kitchen, and the shower curtain was missing. Blood was also recovered, which was later identified as belonging to Alexis. On February 2, Marshall flew to Seattle, Washington, and moved into his father's apartment. On February 25, a cell phone case was found on Vista Grande Way in Antioch, not far from Marshall's house. It contained a distinctive drawing from Alexis, so the police knew it was hers. At this point, using a number of sources of information, including cell phone data, video surveillance, and the computer in the Infiniti, the police were able to piece together the movements of Alexis and Marshall around the time of the disappearance. Here is what they determined. On January 26, 2022, the day of the disappearance, Alexis Gabe was captured on video at a gas station on Lone Tree Way. This was at 6:22 p.m. She departed 7 minutes later. At 6:37 p.m., she arrived at Marshall's house on Ben Tree Way. At 9:10 p.m., Marshall's phone was used to call his father. The call remained active for 1 minute shy of 2 hours. Investigators believed that Alexis was already dead by this point. At 9:23 p.m., Alexis Gabe's Infiniti started. The vehicle left Marshall's house in Antioch and drove in a circuitous fashion to where the vehicle was abandoned in Oakley. It was turned off at 9:35 p.m. The route taken was one that Alexis had never used before and involved a U-turn. This was puzzling because Alexis was familiar with the area. Video surveillance captured a mysterious figure exit the Infiniti G37. The figure appeared to be a man. He was wearing a medical face mask and a black hooded sweatshirt. The man was captured on various surveillance cameras walking about an hour to the street where Marshall's house was located. Alexis Gabe's phone moved with the mysterious figure before shutting off at 9:43 p.m. At 11:16 p.m., a text message was sent from Marshall to Alexis, which read, "Did you make it home?" He called her 20 minutes later, but of course, there was no answer. Marshall's mother, Alicia Coleman Clark, lived in Antioch as well. The police seized surveillance video captured from a Ring camera at her home. In the video, Marshall could be seen pulling up in the Ford Explorer on January 28 at 1:21 p.m. He unloaded heavy and bulky garbage bags from his vehicle into the garage or backyard of his mother's home. As he was doing this, Marshall muttered to himself, "I didn't want to do it, but I did it." Not long after this, his mother came home. She could be heard telling Marshall, quote, "They're ice cold, like they just came out of the refrigerator," unquote. It appears as though she was referring to the bags, but there's no way to know for certain. Later that same day, January 28, Marshall came back and retrieved the garbage bags. He went to his sister's house in Vacaville, arriving at 6:41 p.m. He left there at 7:11 p.m. At this point, he drove east. He briefly activated his phone at 8:52 p.m. as if he became lost and needed directions. The police believed that he disposed of Alexis Gabe's body somewhere near Pioneer, California, about 2 hours east of Vacaville. Marshall had left a handwritten note with directions to this area at his sister's residence. On May 19, Marshall's mother, Alicia Coleman Clark, was briefly detained on suspicion of aiding and abetting, but prosecutors declined to file charges. They said there was insufficient evidence. The police continued to build their case against Marshall Curtis Jones. DNA test results came back for the broken screen, which had been found on January 31. The screen contained Marshall's DNA. On June 1, 2022, a warrant was issued for Marshall's arrest. He was wanted for first-degree murder. By this time, he was staying in a friend's apartment in Kent, Washington, 20 miles south of Seattle. At 5:45 p.m., as the police were trying to arrest him, he charged officers with a knife and was shot to death. Due to Marshall's change in status, namely alive to dead, he was unable to reveal the location of his victim's body. The police searched the area around Pioneer, California for Alexis Gabe's remains without success. Several months later, in November 2022, a person operating a metal detector stumbled upon the remains of Alexis Gabe. This location was about a half hour short of Marshall's destination. About 10 miles away, more remains were located. Marshall had dismembered Alexis Gabe's body. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. Based on Marshall's haphazard efforts to escape responsibility, it would initially appear as though the murder was committed in the heat of the moment, like he became angry and killed Alexis without planning this whole episode in advance. However, one of Marshall's friends indicated that 2 weeks before the murder, Marshall made incriminating statements. He said he was thinking of killing Alexis and wanted to know where he could dispose of her body. Eventually, Marshall decided that a septic tank or a forest would be best. The friend thought that Marsha was joking around. It sounds like this witness had set the bar for humor as low as he had set the bar for friends. Not only did Marshall plan the murder, he had a plan for what he would do if the police caught up with him. He told friends he would charge at the police, forcing them to shoot. Item number two, some people think that Marshall's mother could have provided him some type of assistance after the murder. As I mentioned, she was briefly detained, but no charges were ever filed against her. I would be surprised if Marshall's mother helped him in any way. When Alicia said, "They're ice cold," she may have been referring to the garbage bags that Marshall had brought into her home. Those garbage bags likely contained the remains of Alexis Gabe. If Marshall's mother knew what was in the bags, she probably would not have touched them, and she would not have been surprised by the temperature if she did touch them. I don't think Marshall involved anyone else in his plan. He was simply nervous about having the bags in the Ford Explorer. This is why he left the bags at his mother's home for a few hours. Item number three, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Marshall Curtis Jones was immature, self-centered, remorseless, cold, callous, vindictive, sadistic, impulsive, irresponsible, jealous, insecure, and had extremely low frustration tolerance. When Alexis broke up with him, Marshall found that to be unacceptable. He was angry and wanted revenge. When she visited his house on the evening of January 26, 2022, Marshall killed her by stabbing, strangulation, or beating. Whatever method he selected, it required some level of cleanup. In order to make it seem as though he was busy the entire time, he called his father and left the line open. They were not actually talking on the phone. He then drove the Infiniti to Trenton Lane, which was near where a friend of Alexis lived. He wanted people to believe that she was visiting the friend when she disappeared. Marshall did not realize that the friend was out of town. Without his phone to navigate, he became lost looking for Trenton Lane. Later, when he was trying to dispose of the body, he became lost again in a rural area near Pioneer. Marshall did not know how to navigate without a phone. Despite his efforts to escape responsibility, it was painfully obvious that Marshall was guilty. He had almost no chance of getting away with the murder, especially considering he was the last known person to see the victim alive. In a sense, Marshall had probably accepted the worst possible outcome for himself right from the beginning. He was not going to prison one way or the other. Either he would live free or he would die at the hands of the police. Marshall was satisfied with his decision to kill. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice to get his revenge.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.